message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Grace of God, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through His servant, the month of April, which is the new month that we are entering from tomorrow, has been declared our month of supernatural exploit. Hallelujah. Our month of supernatural exploit. And this morning I want you to know that prepare yourself for exploit, because you are going on a flight in this new month. I can tell you are going on a flight to success. You are going on a flight to prosperity. You are going on a flight to a higher ground in the name of Jesus. You are going to do amazing things that you can't even imagine that you are doing them in righteousness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this new month is going to be a great month, and God is going to bless us tremendously in this new month. And to this effect, from tomorrow, by the special grace of God, we are starting the 3-day special prayer banquet coupled with fasting. If you're happy to hear that, can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. So we'll be fasting from tomorrow, and we'll be meeting by 5:30 p.m. in the evening for special prayer banquet. We are going to continue this till Wednesday, where we'll be rounding it up. So God bless you as you participate in this in Jesus' name. Today is the last day, the last Sunday service in this month of extraordinary progress. And we'll be looking at the topic, extraordinary progress in business, career, and vocation. Hallelujah. Extraordinary progress in business, career, and in your vocation. I want you to know that God's desire for you is that you increase. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. God wants to bless you. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. So God is the one that gives wealth, and God wants you to have wealth. If God does not desire, He will not give you the power. Praise the Lord. That He may establish His covenant, which we have sworn unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God's desire is that you and I enjoy abundance. God does not want any man to serve Him and be in penury. No, that is not the plan of God. God does not work in stagnation. Our God does not work in stagnation. He's not a God that dwells in stagnation. He's not a God that will say stay on one spot for the next 10 years. No, God wants you to continually increase. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. The book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. The blessings of the Lord maketh one rich. The blessing of the Lord is the one that makes you rich. And added no sorrow with it. It had no sorrow to it. In other words, God wants you to prosper in your vocation, in your business, in your career, in your academics, in your marriage, in anything that you set out to do. It is the plan and the desire of God for you to prosper. He does not want you to work in stagnation. Praise the Lord. God hates some people, His people, to be stagnant. No, He does not want it. He does not like it. God wants you to move forward. He told the children of Israel, say, you have dwelt too long in this Mount Horeb. You have dwelt too long. You have dwelt too long. Move forward. Make progress. Step forward. Why? Because He is a God that dislikes stagnation. He does not want you to remain on one spot. I speak to someone this morning. Every power of stagnation holding you down is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the Lord spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. You have remained long enough at that particular position. You have remained too long. It is time for you to move forward. It is time for you to move forward and possess. He said, turn and take your journey. Make your journey. Take your step and go to the mountains of the Amorites and to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, in the lowland, in the south, on the seacoast, to the land of Canaan, to the land of Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates. God wants you to take possession. You see, the Bible was just describing to the children of Israel how they will move. That look, you have to move. You have to move. You cannot remain at that that same position, because that is not the plan of God for you. God wants you to move forward in your business. Maybe your turnover presently is 20,000 naira per month. God wants that business to be turning over 200,000. And when you attain 200,000, you should start dreaming of 500. And when you get to 500, you should start dreaming of 1,000,000. When you get to 1,000,000, you should start dreaming more. It is not a sin to be rich. It is the love of money that is evil. Hello? Don't let anybody tell you that when you become rich, you are a sinner. There are people that are rich that are not sinners. Hallelujah. We have plenty of them in the kingdom. Our fathers in the faith, they are wealthy. Abraham was a stupendously wealthy man. And the Bible said, see him as a righteous man. Said, for his faith is accounted unto him as righteousness. Praise the Lord. David was a wealthy man. David gave so much for the construction of the house of God. So much. So much. And yet the Bible said, God said, David is my friend. God called Abraham. He said, can I do something and I will not tell my friend Abraham? Yet Abraham was a super rich man. Praise the Lord. So don't let the misconception of the devil cloud you and tell you that when you become rich or wealthy, you are a sinner. No. In fact, it is easier to commit sin when you are poor. Praise the Lord. The opposite is the case. But that's not where we are going this morning. We want to treat this extraordinary progress and let you understand that in whatsoever you set your hands upon, you should make progress. The Bible said the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter, more and more. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, you must move forward. You cannot remain at the same level. Brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter shall your path shine in the name of Jesus. What are the keys to this extraordinary progress in business, in careers, and in our vocation? Number one key is partnership with God. Partnership with God. Partnership with God. Partnership with God. Tell your neighbor, are you in partnership with God? Are you in business with God? The Bible says in the book of John chapter 15 verse 5, it says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He who abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without God you can do nothing. He said, as you abide in me, one part, I will also abide in what? In you, the next part. Then you will bring forth much fruit. Because if you are not in him, and if you are not in partnership with him, you can do nothing. Partnership with God guarantees success in whatsoever you do. In my place, they will say, there is no man that doeth business with God and make a loss. Hallelujah. No man does business with God. You can't be in partnership, in business with God, and you make a loss. You can be in partnership and business with a man and you make a loss. Yes. Your best friend, even your husband, you can do business with your husband and you still make a loss. Not because he has stolen your money, but you lost as God. But with God, remember, it's not possible. You can't be in business with God and make a loss. So partnership with God, God wants you to, you know, to seek him. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And its righteousness. And all these things. All these what? All these what? All these things. Plural, not singular. All these things shall be added unto you. Whatsoever you desire, when you partner with God, when you seek after the things of God first, every other thing is added unto you. It's a painful thing that many a times we seek after our own things first before the things of God. Praise the Lord. You know, the mothers in the house, I really love mothers. They are wonderful people. Women behave more like God, more than men. Apology to all the men. The male folks in the house. I'm sorry. But that's the truth. A woman, we is ready to sacrifice herself for her child. A woman is ready to do anything as long as that child is hers. As long as that child is connected to her. She wants to do everything. So as long as you are connected to God, God is ready to do anything, just like a woman. He said, even if a mother forget her suckling child, he said, can I, God, forget you? No, he cannot. As long as you are in him, as long as you are connected to him, praise the Lord. But you know, a lot of people try to get wealth in their own way. And you know what the Bible said about such people in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says something. It says, as partridge that broods but does not hatch them not, so is he that getteth rich and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days. Praise the Lord. That is the one who gets rich in the evil way without seeking after God. He will leave them. So God first. I want you to know that your speed in life is in connection with your relationship with God. The speed of your progress in life is directly proportional to your relationship with God. Not inversely proportional, directly proportional to your relationship with God. And as long as you work with him, he works with you. Abraham works with God and God blessed him. And God granted unto him extraordinary progress. Number two is divine direction. Divine direction. Divine direction. Psalm 32 verse 6 says, I will instruct you, I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. I will instruct thee. I will instruct thee. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct thee. God has made a pronouncement. He said, look, me, I will instruct you. So once you are in partnership with him, once you are connected to him, he's bound to instruct you if you seek his guidance. Praise the Lord. Never assume that you know the way more than the way maker. Never assume that after all, I know the way more than the way maker. It's not possible. Never assume I have technology. I have the compass. I have the GPRS. So I don't need God. Never make that assumption. Because God created the man that created the GPRS. Hallelujah. You can't know more than the way maker. Praise the Lord. No one knows more than God who knows all. He is the all-knowing God. That's why the Yoruba people call him Amomotan. Hallelujah. The one that knows all in all. Amomotan. He is the father that knows all. He knows your... Said, I know your end from your beginning. Say, before I formed thee, I know thee. While you were still in your mother's womb, I know thee. I know you. I know you. He knows what he has put in you. He knows what you can do. He knows your strength. He knows your weaknesses. So you need to seek him if you want to succeed in business. Don't venture into any business or any vocational career without seeking God first. Seek him first. Papa shared with us some time ago a story of how he was working in an organization and he desired a change and was praying to God, trusting God, and he applied to some other companies, institutions, and he was called to come and work in a particular institution. And he said the offer was too powerful, too juicy, too sweet, package loaded. Normal thinking person will jump at the package without hesitating. Why? Because the package is big and it's sweet. But he said he had a restraint. He had a restraint, so he didn't take it. He rather took another offer that was lesser in total package and everything than the first one. And in a short while, and you know the amazing thing, the person that took that position, he knew the person. In a short while, that organization collapsed and liquidated. Everybody out of job. See, he that is guided make no loss. In your vocation, in your business, in your career, as a student, seek God. Don't say, I don't need God. You need God more than you need yourself. Praise the Lord. It is whom God guides that finish well. And your finish well is tied to how guided you are by God. It's tied to who is guiding you. How well you will finish in life. It's tied to who is guiding you, who is leading you. May you not be misguided in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus, you will not be misguided in the name of Jesus. You will finish well in life in Jesus' name. You will finish well in your career in the name of Jesus. You will finish well in your academics in the name of Jesus. You will finish well in your businesses in the name of Jesus. We finish well. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Bible says something that there. You know, a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart devises his way. But the Lord directed his steps. That is a wise man. We allow God to direct his steps. Let God lead you always, and you will not go astray. Make God your compass. Make him your GPRS. Make him whatsoever you want to make him to guide you. But don't do anything without God's guidance. Don't do it. Don't do it. A lot of times, when we want to take vital decisions in our lives, we consult with our friends and our family members, but we fail to consult with God. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? No matter how much a person loves you, there will still be an inkling, a little inkling. It might be very little. It varies from individual to individual of selfishness. Very little. It will still be there. For example, you are a young person. You've just applied to some companies and they've given you appointment in two places. And there is one that will take you to Congo, Kinshasa. And there's another one that will take you to Canada. The two start with similar pronunciation. Kinshasa, Canada. And you are like, Congo, Canada. Of course, everybody knows where we are going to choose. And you've come to meet your mother that has been laboring all this while and has been reading about Congo, Kinshasa, and Canada. I said, Mommy, Edwin, advise me. Please advise me. Which one do I choose? Mommy might say she's very spiritual. Let me go and pray about it. But I tell you, by the time she finish prayer, except somebody that has a strong connection with the spirit, she come and say, Canada, near mommy, Canada. The meaning of Elo Luimbo. Canada. Of course. Whereas Canada may not be the best option. Because that may corner you away from your destiny and your destiny fulfillment in life. Congo Kinshasa may actually be the place. And that will even take you to that Canada and take you to a greater height. But God wants you to first go to Congo to go and learn some things so that by the time you get to Canada, you will be a king. I want you to understand that it is only God that can give the perfect 100% guidance. And that grace to work with God and to be guided by God is released unto you in the name of Jesus. Number three, quickly, because of our time, is planning. Planning, 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 planning. You see, planning in Africa, we plan. And do you know what is our plan? No plan. Most often, sincerely, in Africa, we plan. We do more of talking than less of planning. We do more of talking than less of execution. We'll call conferences and talk and blow big grammar. Then we'll go back home and sleep on it. Many people believe that there is luck. I'm of the school of thought that it is adequate planning that gives birth to luck. Luck don't jump down from anywhere. Planning is the father of luck. That's what gives you, makes you look as if you are lucky. Somebody that you say is an overnight success, check his story 10 years behind. You will know there is nothing like overnight success. Except somebody that is yahoo yahoo. I'm telling you. Even a politician, you can't just be a politician today and tomorrow you become governor. It's not possible. Go and check, the person must have contributed something, either him or his father or his brother or somebody. You cannot just have it. Planning, a lot of time we don't plan. You know, not planning is planning, because when you are not planning, you are actually planning to fail. So we are always planning. Like Papa will say, no planning is planning to fail. No planning is actually planning to fail, because you are not planning. Yes, you are planning to fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to plan our time. We need to plan our lives. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 from verse 1. Proverbs chapter 16 from verse 1. The preparation of the heart is in the man. And the preparation of the heart is the man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Can you see this? Every man believes that he is righteous in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. When you commit it to God, your plan become established. But the point is this, plan in the first place. A lot of time many people don't plan. God used Pharaoh to save the whole of Egypt and the whole of the then known world via the advice and proper planning by Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, you read through that story from verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, I think down to 49, to the end of that chapter. You see that story when Pharaoh dreamed and God used Joseph and God inspired Joseph to give the advice, and the man accepted the advice and they started planning, building silos, building storage to store food. And they did that for 7 years. That was what saved the entire known world and saved the entire people of Egypt. Praise the Lord. And that was what God used to enthrone Joseph as well. Planning is making. Planning is what? Number one, planning is making adequate and proper preparation for something or an event. Planning is making adequate and proper preparation. Praise the Lord. For something or an event. Planning is putting in place necessary requirement for the success of something or an event. That's number two. Planning is putting in place all the necessary requirement, things that needed to be done for you to have success. I decree concerning somebody, success shall be yours in the name of Jesus. Wise planning will affect your progress in life positively. Good planning will bring good rewards and good returns. In business, if you have good plans, good business plan, good planning, it will bring good returns. You see, a lot of time people don't plan. A man whose wife is pregnant has 8 to 9 months to plan. If your wife gets pregnant now, a married man, not one boy somewhere who is not responsible and went to go impregnate somebody, that a person can't even have any plan in the first place because he's not even planning. That's why he will go and do that. Because if you are planning, you won't do that. But you are married, your wife is pregnant. You have minimum of 8 to 9 months to plan. Plan the pregnancy. You start planning the pregnancy, not delivery. A lot of people think it is only delivery. No. You plan the pregnancy. You see, when you don't take care of your wife, the pregnancy will take a toll on her. You have to take proper care. Give her the right medication. Give her the right drugs. Encourage her to take the drugs. Many years ago, when my wife was pregnant with our first set of children, she doesn't like taking drugs. She doesn't like. So once we confirmed that she was pregnant, I told her, you don't do this, you don't do this. I started planning. And we went to the antenatal together. We went with her together. Hallelujah. And some drugs were prescribed and given. And when we got home, she was to be taking, but she doesn't like taking drugs. So you know what? She was not taking the drugs. She was doing fine, but she was not taking. So one day, I said, those your drugs are supposed to, women in the house know the kind of drugs I'm talking about. So I won't mention it because a lot of people are not married here yet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, this thing is supposed to have finished. He said, Mundo, I'm taking them, but they've not finished. I said, let me see. So she brought them out. I said, by my own calculation, this thing should be less. Then I'm taking it. I said, okay, no problem. So what do I do? Simple plan. The next day when I got back from work, I said, Jekalogunwa, let's take our drug. So you will take one, I will take one. After all, it doesn't harm me. It will only make me look fresher. Praise the Lord. So I started forcing her. That's good planning. Because when the time comes for her to deliver, if I did not help her, I will be the one running koloba, running here and there. And I started planning. After some months, started saving immediately. I started saving. And you know, I was saving for one baby. And fifth month, we went to do scan. And they said it was twins. I started sweating. In fact, we have even gone for the first purchase of baby things. I said, bring the list. You know, I was trying to look proud and look very responsible. So I went with my sister to go and buy the first set. And after we went to do scan, and they said it's two. So When we got home that night, I did strong face because she was doing somehow, she was wondering how she was going to, so I tried to look bold and all that. It wasn't real. I was not bold at all. So at night, I woke up and I said, God, why did you start with twins for me? You should have started with one first. Oh, you know, I started planning immediately for the second one. Immediately. I doubled the number of saving. In fact, immediately I changed certain things. There are some places I decided to take a walk so that I can save the transport. To add to the thing. Immediately. And when it was time to deliver, the doctor said, it has to be this, this, and this. Ah, when they brought the bill, it was more than my savings. So I have to look, okay, what else can I do? So you see, you must plan. It's amazing, a lot of people, their wife will be pregnant at the time of delivery, then you will not have. You must save, no matter how little, save. That is proper planning. As a student, you know that this lecturer has something that is difficult. This course is voluminous, it's much. It's so much. It's so wild. STC 306 is so big, it's so voluminous. You try as much as possible to start planning from day one. Start reading. Don't wait. GNS is so plenty. Don't say, I'll cover up. You will just cover up your sources. May your sources not be covered up in Jesus' name. Plan. Reduce the TV watching. Reduce the time on phone. Recently, I discovered an app. I didn't know it was in my phone. I just discovered recently. My phone can actually calculate how much time I spent on it on a daily basis. I never knew. I just discovered. And I've been carrying it around for a while. So when I discover, I put my mind off it. But one day, it is sent a message to me and said, drop your phone for a while and rest your eye because you have spent over 4 hours on your phone today. I said, hey, 4 hours on my phone? What am I doing? To take call? It's not to take call. Am I taking call for 4 hours? So I started monitoring. And the next day, it gave me the time too. So I said, look, I have to readjust. How many times have I spent praying? How many times have I spent studying? How many hours have I spent doing the things that will improve me rather than sit on my phone? Phone is good. As students, WhatsApp and all these things, they are good. But don't waste your time on them so that you can achieve great success. Plan your time. Plan your day. Immediately you wake up in the morning, plan. Lack of proper planning always leads to waste of time and resources. It is lack of planning that bats worry. When you don't plan, when the things that you did not plan for now come, you start worrying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you plan properly, you don't panic perpetually. You don't panic. When the exam comes, you don't panic. I can't remember myself falling sick during any examination. Why? Why should I fall sick? For what? I'm ready. Bring it. I'm ready. I don't pray for postponement of exams. So students will start praying and fasting. God, don't let the lecturer come so that we will not write the test. You are doing as if you have not done it before. Thank you for being honest. You don't need it. Bring it. Because you are ready. You are prepared. You have planned. Bring it. Praise the Lord. How to achieve your plan quickly. That's under 3A. 3A now. How to achieve your plan. Put God in all your plans. We have talked about that. Let God be involved in all your plan. Let God be involved in all your plan. His own plan must be an integral part of your plan. That is, plan with God. Plan with God. Plan with God, because without Him, you can do nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. So plan with God. Make your plan part of God's own. Make God's plan part of your own. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will bring your plan to pass because you have committed it into His hands. Praise the Lord. Number B is, be ready to submit to God's plan. You have planned, but now you have discovered that your plan is not God's plan. Be ready to jettison your own and submit. That is the way you will achieve your own. Hello? You are not getting it. You have planned, I'm going to Canada. God said, it is Congo, Kinshasa. Plan and be ready to drop your plan for God's plan. Because in doing his plan, you achieve your plan. Praise the Lord. In doing his plan, you achieve your plan. In doing his plan, you achieve your plan. Number three, act on your plan. This is where most of us miss it. We don't act on our plan. Act on it. Act on your plan. When you have planned, don't put your plan in the book. Don't plan for the book. The book is not you. Plan for yourself. Don't plan mentally. Plan, write it down. Put it down and execute it. Plan and execute. Plan for execution. And don't let your plan be above you. Plan within your reach. In my place, they will say, as the bird is, so is the nest of the bird. Plan within your reach. You know, there's one Yoruba proverb that they used to say that, how you are, that's how you sew your garment. No, it is the material that you have that will determine the kind of clothes you will sew. That's the truth. Don't plan more than what you can achieve. I tell you, you won't achieve it. And it will not become a pain. You have wasted time and effort. You know within your heart that you cannot build a 15-bedroom house. You're not a politician. But you don't need it. Then you say, architect, draw the house. You draw 4 bedrooms. You say, architect, what is wrong with you? Are you okay? I said, give me a big house. I want a big house. Then the man gave you 15-bedroom. Then you start building. 15 years, you are still building. By the time you finish building, you are 65. So how many years is remaining? And you know, the painful part is that the children of nowadays will not even come and stay there. Because by the time they are 30, that your house is archaic. It's old school. There are new trends. And they don't want to follow old trend. So the house will just be there. Plan within your reach. Hallelujah. Number four, pray well on your plan. Pray your plan to actualization. 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 Pray very well on your plan. And number four that I will be talking about in the keys. Number four. Key number four is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. A faithful man we are bound with blessing. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man we are bound with blessing. A faithful man we are bound with blessing. You see, faithfulness is not a popular virtue today. It's not popular again. Being faithful is not a popular virtue in marriages, in relationship, in business, even in academics. People are not faithful. They're not faithful to themselves, to the academics. You're a student. You know your primary assignment is your academics. You need to be faithful. They say a friend of mine is getting married. One auntie is getting married in Sokoto. We are there. An uncle of mine is doing his 40th birthday in Calabar. You are there. One friend of my brother is dedicating the new car he just bought in Ibadan. You are there. You are jumping, galvanizing up and down. Then the exam comes. The uncles and the aunties will not write it for you. Be faithful. Be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. God puts premium on faithful people. The unfaithful can never access the blessing of God for extraordinary progress. It is not possible. The unfaithful can never access, they can never access the blessing of God for progress. It's not possible. So try as much as possible to work in faithfulness. The Bible says something in the book of Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 6. It says, getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity, toss and fro of them that seeketh death. I read from the New King James Version. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. They've sent you to go and buy something, then you decide to pad it when you are not in National Assembly. You are not a member of the National Assembly. Then you pad it. Pad it. Add your own to it. He says, I'm sweating. Yes, you are being paid for your sweat as a salary. You now come back. You know, one lie we always give back to another lie to cover it. He said, how much did you buy it? He said, Oye te pe na ni oye wo le pe, how much did you buy it? That's the question. Then 20 naira. Meanwhile, it was 10 naira. And you have pocketed 10 naira. I tell you, such does not bring blessings. You can't prosper with that. You cannot. Bible says, a faithful man who can find. I tell you, it's difficult these days to find a faithful person. But I tell you, faithfulness will cause you to excel in life. Be faithful. No matter how much the temptation is, be faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Psalm 101 verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. And he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And he that serve the Lord serves. Please, as much as you can, deceit from doing what is wrong. Verse 7 says, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tell lies shall not continue in my presence, shall not tarry in my sight. Don't allow the little change that will not change your destiny to destroy your life. Pray that God will give each and every one of us the grace to work in faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Who are we to be faithful to for extraordinary progress? Number one is God. You have to be faithful to God. You have to be faithful to God. You have to be faithful to God. Be faithful to God in your service. Be faithful to God in your tithes. Honor the Lord with your possession. Honor Him with your possession. Honor Him with your possessions. Honor God. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. Honor Him with your possession. Honor Him with your time. Be faithful to Him. Number two, your family. Your family. Be faithful to your family. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. Said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Be faithful in your marriage. Be faithful in your relationship. Be faithful. Number three, your church. That's 4C now. Your church and denomination. Your church, your denomination, and your pastor who are serving you. Be faithful to them. Be faithful to them. Be faithful. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to those who are serving you. Don't take them for granted. Be faithful. Don't do things because they are there or they are not there. No. Be faithful. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Be faithful to them. Be faithful. Number four, be faithful to your vocation. Be faithful to your vocation. As a student, be faithful. I've said that earlier. Be faithful to your studies. You have to obey your bosses. If you are working, obey your bosses. Don't steal from the company in the name of starting your own company. That company will never work. It will not work. Don't steal from your boss in order for you to start your own business. It will never work. The business will never work. In my place, they will say the house that somebody built with spit is just dew that will bring it down. When you build your business by preferring from another man's business to start your business, I tell you, it will not stand. Be faithful. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 to 8 talks about that. Be faithful. Also, if you know, Papa always say that if you are the boss, treat the people under you. Treat them well also. Be faithful as a boss to people under you also. Treat them well. If you have an house help or you have somebody staying with you, working for you, treat them well. Be faithful to them. You have promised to give them so amount. Be faithful to giving them that amount. That is when God can bless you. E part of under be faithful is be faithful to yourself. A lot of time we are not faithful to ourselves. You have yourself to take care of. You have yourself to take care of. Your health and your well-being as an adult is your responsibility. It is not the responsibility of your pastors. A lot of time we make our responsibility the responsibilities of our pastors. As an adult, if you're a child, your responsibility of taking care of you belongs to your parents. Like that, my beautiful daughter that recited that wonderful recitation this morning. I tell you, our responsibility, everything about it, the parents that is taking care. She doesn't need to bother herself. How will I pay school fees? Or what will I eat? She doesn't need to know. Sometimes kids will come and ask you when you have money, when your pocket is loaded. Say, Daddy, I want ice cream. You look at the child like you don't even know what is going on. But out of the little, you will still do the little. Because you are responsible to them. But as an adult, be faithful to yourself. Don't eat yourself out of your destiny. You know, some people eat themselves out of their destiny. They just keep eating. The money they're supposed to save, they will eat. Kuguru, eat. Epa, eat. Chocomilo, eat. Bones, eat. Tom-tom, eat. Everything, eat. Just be eating. And they will eat everything. At the end of the day, they say, we don't even know what we are using the money to do. We don't even know what they are using the money to do. We are eating the money. Be faithful. Be faithful to yourself. Be faithful to yourself. Be faithful in taking care of your health. God's eyes is on the faithful to bless. I pray for you this morning that the Lord will bless you continually in the name of Jesus. And number five, the last this morning, where I'm going to stop this morning. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. A diligent man that is diligent in his business shall not stand before anybody. He will stand before kings and not mean men. Proverbs 22:29. A man that is diligent will stand before kings and not between. He will stand before mean men. You will not stand before mean men in the name of Jesus. In the place of honor, your name will continually be mentioned in the name of Jesus. Diligency is doing whatever your hands find to do or what is committed to your hands with all your might. It is not just being hardworking, because a lot of time we confuse the two. We look at hardworking people and we say they are diligent. You can be hardworking and not be diligent. But you cannot be diligent and not be hardworking. Hello? You are not getting it. You can be hardworking, but you are not diligent. But you cannot be diligent and not be hardworking. I'll give you a very good example. Thank God we have medical professionals in our midst this morning. You are a doctor. You are hardworking. You're always attending to your patients. You're always doing, but to put the case file in the right perspective, they know how they write their thing. You will not do it. But you can treat and take care, but you will not treat. You are ready to do all the work, but you won't write. You are hardworking, you are not diligent. I just use that as an example. I'm not saying doctors are like that. Please, just use it as an example. You are a teacher. You can teach very well, but you don't write the lesson notes. You not write it. That does not make you a diligent person. You are hardworking, but you are not diligent. You are a driver. You can drive very well. Very well, perfectly. But you will not wake up in the morning when you are going out to check, does this car has oil? Is the oil okay? Is this one okay? Is that one okay? You just start the car and you are driving and the car knock. Say, I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. You are hardworking. You are not diligent. Praise the Lord. See, diligence is working well and working in the right direction. While hardworking is doing work with seriousness. Just doing it with seriousness. But not in the right direction or in the right way. A diligent worker is an hardworking worker. And not all hardworking people are diligent people. That's why I said you cannot be diligent and not be hardworking, but you can be hardworking and not be diligent. And I've cited several examples for us in that regard. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I want to encourage you that you be diligent. Be diligent. Diligence is an assignment for every one of us so that we can access great speed in life and make great progress. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Do it well. Do it well. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it well. Diligence is the pathway to excellence. Take your time. Take your time to be diligent, and the Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be diligent. Get diligent. If he or she is not answering you, knock with the person. Say, neighbor, be diligent. Be diligent. Today, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the grace to be diligent and not be indigent is released upon you in the name of Jesus. I said the grace to be diligent is released upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road in Loring. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.